First tonight, a story that couldn't get.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Dr. Ali Zaini. We're in the Islamic School. We're teaching an Islamic studies class, and this is the topic of the class that is a stereotype about Islam, that Islam allows men to marry more than one wife. Islam allows men to marry more than one wife, but women can't, and the other subjects, women can't be leaders. We covered that already last time. And while we have Benazir Bhutto and Sheikh Hasina were rulers for Muslim countries, for Pakistan and Bangladesh, large Muslim countries, we don't have a female president ever in the history of the United States. So it shows that we are ahead of the United States in this area. Barely vice president made it. The first ever vice president was this one with this time. Okay, this was ever selected. We talk about vice president, but president, no, it didn't happen. Okay, even when the candidate that was running against her, Donald Trump is the worst candidate. He was running against Hillary Clinton. And even though she was running against the worst man ever, but she still didn't win. You know, you should be able to win Trump, to win the race with Trump easy, because he's a terrible man, but she couldn't make it. But anyway, that part we finished. So we have the other part, which is about having Islam has double standards. And there is an introductory video that explains, and then we will get there from the introduction.
There's something else you should know about marriage.
Can everybody see the video? If you can't see the video, say I can't.
Number one, the Quran allows men to have more than one wife. Then marry such women as seem good to you, 2 and 3 and 4. But if you fear that you will not do justice between them, then marry only one. A Muslim man is allowed to marry up to 4 women, but if he's afraid he won't do justice between them, he should marry only one. While it is allowed, the general guidance stipulated by the Quran and a hadith may be the reason why most Muslim men choose to only have one wife. You poor creatures. Number two, humans as a species are polygamous by nature. But we're not animals. Animals do all sorts of things that are disgusting. Although we are kind of animals, with one glaring exception that differentiates us from all the other things on Earth which move around, breathe, eat, sleep, grow, excrete, and reproduce. And that is the aql, loosely translated as the intellect. The Holy Quran tells us, "And there is no animal that walks upon the earth, nor a bird that flies with its 2 wings, but that they are genera or communities like yourselves." Now, being the rational animal that we are, let's attempt to use that intellect to observe the other species on our planet to figure out whether the natural design of human beings is to be monogamous or not. Scientists have studied 5,000 species of mammals and found that only 3-5% are known to form lifelong bonds with one mate. One researcher highlights that humans in fact possess certain characteristics typical of non-monogamous species. Monogamous species are also monomorphic, meaning that both males and females are the same size. Polygamous species are dimorphic. The male is larger than the female. And in humans, males are typically 10% taller and 20% heavier than females, and it seems that humans have been mildly polygamous throughout history. Islam is a religion which is based on the fitrah, the natural disposition of humankind. That's why the Holy Quran states, "So direct your face towards the religion inclining to truth, the nature made by Allah in which He has made men. There is no altering of Allah's creation." That is the right religion, but most people do not know. Number three. Society has forced us to remain monogamous, largely because of jealousy. University professor David P. Brash argues that perhaps what makes human beings special is our ability to do things that are unnatural, whether those things are obsolete or, like monogamy, are socially imposed. And if you just think about that for a moment, in our strictly monogamous society where having more than one wife is seen as some sort of heinous and unforgivable crime, generally a lot of well-to-do men have affairs or divorce their wives wives and marry younger women, sometimes more than once, i.e. serial polygyny. This may be why Dr. Elizabeth Sheff argues that it seems more natural for humans to want a personal harem, but insist on sexual exclusivity for our lovers so we don't have to deal with jealousy. A harem is a term which in biology is generally used to describe a group of females sharing one mate, like a group of lionesses or does that one lion or one stag protects. This social construct actually makes more sense for humans, but many women insist on their men being exclusive in order to avoid jealousy. While it may be difficult for us to digest, the reality is that this is a kind of jealous possessiveness which in Islam, men are encouraged to have and women are encouraged not to have. This may be the wisdom behind Imam Ali's words when he said that the wife's jealousy is from disbelief and the husband's jealousy is from faith. Number four, men are psychologically designed to have multiple spouses. Now, I know a lot of women hearing this will get angry, and even a lot of men hearing this will be like, hey, I'm not like that. Just step back a minute and look at this objectively for a moment. In Finland, over 12,000 men and women aged 18 to 49 were surveyed in an attempt to find out which age group they were most attracted to. Most women tended to be interested in men who were the same age or slightly older. Most men, however, tended to be interested in a single age group, women in their mid-20s. Meaning that if you take a couple where the man is 40 and the woman is 35, the woman will be content as long as her general needs are being met. The man, however, even if all his needs are generally being met, on some level of his consciousness, he will be on the lookout for a younger woman. Generally speaking, scientists argue that this is because women in their mid-20s are most fertile and men are instinctively on the lookout to have more offspring. We have to consider that men are naturally more prone to having extra partners.
Number five,
women, on the other hand, are not designed to have more than one spouse. If a man has multiple wives, it's clear who the child belongs to. But if a woman has multiple husbands, determining who the child actually belongs to becomes a serious problem. Modern DNA sampling could potentially help, yes, but we have to bear in mind that Islam is a religion for all times and all places.
Nay, if men can have more than one spouse, then women should be allowed to have more than one spouse too. Equal rights.
But what about the psychological effects multiple partners have on women? In fact, one study established a strong association between number of sex partners and later substance disorder, especially for women, which persisted beyond prior substance use and mental health problems more generally. In fact, studies have found that women who have multiple partners are at higher risk of being infertile. Without going into too many details, it is not the natural design of a woman to have multiple partners. Number six, the male to female ratio. Today, there are more men in the world than women. More males are born than females. Scary, isn't it? Now, here's a map. The red areas are countries where women outnumber men. But hold on a moment. What about these countries? I mean, what is going on there? According to World Atlas, in the United Arab Emirates, the high number of men compared to women is attributed to a large number of foreign workers who leave their families back in their home countries. Furthermore, in today's world, it can be argued that men outnumber women for rather unnatural reasons. For the World Health Organization has stated, societies with a dominating preference for male children tend to intervene in nature and reduce the number of born girl children by sex-selective abortion and infanticide. And the Holy Quran states, "And do not slay your children for fear of poverty. We provide for you and for them. Stop killing female children." And the Holy Quran further states that on the Day of Judgment, when the female infant buried alive is asked, for what sin was she killed? If such atrocities were not taking place, then it's likely that the women would outnumber the men, and the surplus women deserve to marry even if all the men are married already. Now, if you look at a country like the USA, there were 161 million females in 2013 versus only 156.1 million males. That means that if every man got married, there'd still be 4.9 million women without life partners. Similarly, according to the UK government website, only 49% of the population is male. If all the males got hitched to one woman each, there'd still be 1.32 million women unmarried. 53.53% of Russia is female, leaving over 10 million single women if every man got taken. What are all these women supposed to do? Should they A, engage in adultery with married men, or B, remain celibate for their entire lives. Islam says that, hey, neither of these options are fair on women. Neither are they good and healthy for society. Adultery causes pain and anguish, while celibacy forces women to live their lives without having experienced the pains, pleasures, and progress of married life. Thus, it's better if the surplus women enter into loving, caring, and wholesome marriages to men, even if those men already have another wife or wives. Number 7. Expendability. Women are special, and while modern society tries to adamantly insist that they are equal and not different in any way, the Holy Quran eloquently throws this argument to the wayside with a single line. And the male is not like the female. The female has the ability to create and nurture life, an ability that Allah gave only to her and not to him. It's this ability that sets her apart, makes her special, and it's because of this ability which men lack that men are expendable. If there's a village, the men will naturally do all the dangerous things. If the worst happens and the men all die, then it's okay. Pregnant women will have children. The women can still hunt and gather for themselves and nurture and raise the next generation. If, on the other hand, a village gives all the dangerous tasks to the women and the women die, that's it. That's the end of the village. What are the men gonna do? Hunt and gather food? For what? For who? Once they reach old age and die, that's the end of them. And if all humans did this, then that's the end of the species. While women produce more antibodies and at a quicker rate than men, and have more white blood cells and develop fewer infectious diseases, etc., men are naturally stronger and taller than women, and do not have the burden of the menstrual cycle, nor of childbearing in the womb. And the Holy Quran says, men are the protectors and maintainers of women, because Allah has given the one more strength than the other. Thus, men are the natural option when it comes to who should do the hazardous job. This looks like a job for Mr. Expendable. In fact, according to scientists, this is the reason why more males are born than females. The World Health Organization notes that nature provides that the number of newborn males slightly outnumber newborn females because, as they grow up, men are at a higher risk of dying than women. According to an article by Jamie Garbutt, male mortality is 25 to 30% greater than is female mortality. You're more likely to die at a young age if you're male. Not only due to sex differentials in natural death rates, but also due to higher risk from external causes, accidents, injuries, violence, war casualties, etc. In the event of war, men will die, and a society will be left with overwhelming numbers of women who have nobody left to marry. It will create a surplus of widows and single mothers, while there is a shortage of single men. Should these women now remain single until they die? Well, why can't the surplus women just remain unmarried? Why do we have to consider this whole polygyny malarkey? Well, number 8. The more unmarried people there are, the more sexual sins increase. In an ideal society, everyone gets hitched, which is why Islam has put so much significance on the concept of marriage. Watch the video. Generally speaking, the more single people there are in society, the more that society will be prone to all sorts of social ills and sins, like pornography, adultery, fornication, pedophilia, and even rape. The country with the highest number of rapes in the world in 2010 was America, with a whopping 84,767 recorded offenses. It's really no surprise that the country has 110.6 million unmarried people aged 18 and older in 2016. That's over 45% of the over 18s in America that are unmarried. In second place was South Africa, where there were over 48,000 rapes. And in third place was India, with a staggering 22,172 recorded offenses. It has been reported that over the past decade, there has been a 39% increase in single women in India. That's 71 million single women above the age of 20. That's more than the entire population of the UK. Now, when it comes to viewing explicit material online, according to Bustle, the fourth biggest consumer of pornography in 2015 was India. Canada came third, the UK came second, and lo and behold, America came first. When it comes to pedophilia, Catholic priests insist on remaining celibate and not getting married. Forget about having multiple wives. If you want to reach God, you shouldn't even have one wife. boom, you've got a whole load more unmarried people. July 2014, Pope Francis declared that 8,000 Catholic clergy, including bishops and cardinals, were pedophiles. Children are being abused in the name of celibacy all over the world. On top of that, a lot of this abuse is homosexual in nature. According to the John Jay Report, 80.9% of the abuse victims in the United States were male children. And remember, these are just the cases that we hear about, because most of the time, such sexual crimes go unreported. Am I saying that married people don't commit such crimes? No, but there is certainly a tangible correlation between the number of unmarried people and a lack of sexual ethics. This may be part of the wisdom behind the words of the Holy Prophet, who said, "The worst ones from among your dead are the single people." Marriage, good. Single, bad. Even if some men have multiple wives. Number 9, it's about protecting and preserving women. A marriage is a legal binding contract. A woman married to a man will be given rights to inheritance, for example. Children born in the relationship will be cared for by the father. He is not allowed to abandon them, giving the family a sense of security in their lives. And it is binding on the man to provide food, clothing, and shelter for her, and to further never make her feel insignificant. The Holy Prophet said, "The right of a woman on her husband is that he feeds her, clothes her, and does not cause her to lose face by insulting her or chiding her." In a society where Islam is taken as the ideal, second, third, and fourth wives are not seen as secondary citizens or concubines. Rather, they are given all the respect and rights of a woman in a marriage with a man. Number 10. Many of the prophets, messengers, and imams had multiple wives. Prophets like Abraham, David, and Moses had more than one wife. Prophet Solomon, according to some, had many, many, many wives. In the Old Testament, many important figures are said to have more than one wife. Prophet Muhammad himself had multiple wives, as did Imam Ali, the first imam and the fourth caliph. And many, if not most, of the revered figures of Islamic history had more than one wife. And you might argue that, well, that was a different time and society is different now. Well, maybe. Society needs to change. Once you're done either hating or loving this video, please do share it so that others can learn to love and hate as well.
Okay. We talked before about that men and women are not identical. They are equal, but they are not identical. And the reason, this is the reason why in the Olympics, the men and women don't compete together, because in most of the cases, men exceed women with similar training. When both have similar trainings, men exceed women. And polygamy is allowed in the Bible. So we have about...
Why did God allow polygamy in the Bible? The question of polygamy is an interesting one in that most people today view polygamy as immoral, while the Bible nowhere explicitly condemns it. The first instance of polygamy, or bigamy, in the Bible was that of Lamech in Genesis 4:19. Lamech married two women. Several prominent men in the Old Testament were polygamists. Abraham, Jacob, David, Solomon, and others had multiple wives. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines, essentially wives of a lower status, according to 1 Kings 11:3. What are we to do with these instances of polygamy in the Old Testament? There are three questions that need to be answered. 1. Why did God allow polygamy in the Old Testament? 2. How does God view polygamy today? And 3, why did it change? Why did God allow polygamy in the Old Testament? The Bible does not specifically...
So, basically, the Bible does mention that these great prophets of Allah had multiple wives. So this is not something invented by Islam. This is why you find them... big differences between polygamy allowed by Islam and polygamy allowed by other traditions, okay? The number is limited to 4. You can't marry more than 4. That's number one. And there was a joke about that. There was a funny story of a tribe leader who had 100 wives. And when he converted to Islam, they told him, you can have only 4. You have to divorce 96. So he said no, and with hard negotiation, he said, okay, I'm going to divorce 60 and keep 40, but any less than that, I don't want to be a Muslim. So at the end, they just left him. They said, okay, if you want, it's a sin to have more than four, and it's between you and Allah. So, but in any case, you shouldn't turn down Islam because it limits the number of your wives. Okay. And there are restrictions on marrying women that you cannot combine. Basically, you cannot combine two sisters. You cannot combine, let me show you. You cannot combine a mother and her child.
And marry not those women whom your fathers married, except what hath already happened of that nature in the past. Lo, it was ever lewdness and abomination and an evil way. Forbidden unto you are your mothers and your daughters and your sisters and your father's sisters and your mother's sisters and your brother's daughters and your sister's daughters and your foster mothers and your foster sisters and your mothers-in-law and your stepdaughters who are under your protection, born of your women unto whom you have gone in. But if you have not gone in unto them, then it is no sin for you to marry their daughters, and the wives of your sons who spring from your own loins. And it is forbidden unto you that ye should have two sisters together, except what hath already happened of that nature in the past. Lo, Allah is ever forgiving, merciful.
So the you cannot combine two sisters in a marriage. You cannot combine a mother and her child in a marriage. A woman and so you cannot combine a wife and her mother. Like you cannot combine in the same marriage. You can combine two sisters. You cannot marry two sisters. You cannot marry a woman and her mother. You cannot marry a woman and her aunt. And you cannot marry. That's about the restrictions and get there. So you can't just marry anybody. And the max is four, as you know. Like in this polygamous family that we were watching the video for at the beginning, they were like five. No, the max in Islam is four. Okay. Justice in Islam, there's a very important rule that justice is a mandatory, is a required it's a required value for having more than one wife, is to keep the to be fair to them.
And if ye fear that ye will not deal fairly by the orphans, marry of the women who seem good to you, two or three or four. And if ye fear that ye cannot do justice to so many, then one only, or the captives at your right.
So if you can't have, if you're not sure you will not be able to maintain justice, then you marry only one. Because the one who comes in the day of judgment with doing justice between his wives will come twisted like that. He will not be able to come straight. He will come twisted like that. And the day of judgment will be resurrected twisted like that. Because he did not keep the fairness between his wives. And we talked about serial polygamy in the video, which is to marry one, marry, divorce, marry, divorce, marry, divorce, marry, divorce, and do it so many times that it becomes like polygamy. It's just that you marry and divorce, you marry and divorce. And also the American society or the American law allows people to have one wife and unlimited number of girlfriends. So technically speaking, polygamy is not banned if you can have one wife and unlimited number of girlfriends. And it's ridiculous. When one man is caught with another woman that's not his wife, is it a crime? No. If you're having an affair and you're caught with another woman that's not your wife, it's finally, it's perfectly legal, no problem. But what if he was caught a woman and the woman was his second wife? Then he gets arrested, becomes illegal. So if I'm having a second woman, if it's my wife, it's illegal. If it's not my wife, it's legal. That's absurd, you know. Now, is it legal for married men to have relationship with other married women? Yes, it's legal. See, it's legal. Not allowing men to have multiple wives make women lose their rights, as we explained in the video, that they will lose their rights because they are not treated. They will be women that have no husbands. They will end up being single women. They don't get any rights. So in order for them to have the experience of marriage, they will have to either be prostitutes or, see, when they are dating, when a boyfriend and girlfriend living together, the woman, the girlfriend, if the boyfriend died, the girlfriend get no benefits, no inheritance, no nothing. She has no legal rights to inheritance or the benefits or anything like that. So when we're forcing women to be singles, then the alternative is to be a girlfriend. It's either a wife or a girlfriend. There's no third alternative. So if she's a wife, she's entitled to inheritance and she's entitled to benefits, spousal benefits and things like that. But if she's a girlfriend, she's not entitled to any of it. So to force a woman to be a girlfriend because the man is married and he's just having an affair with another woman, or to make it illegal for women, to make it illegal for a man to have more than one wife. Basically, it's unfair to the unmarried, remaining unmarried population. And as the video showed, that is going to be forced to other ways that does not guarantee them any inheritance or rights, spousal rights. Now, there are situations where having a second wife is a must. If in situations like if the woman gets in a car accident or gets a disease, cancer or whatever, that makes her not being able to perform the wife duties, like not be able to make love to her husband, not able to do things that husbands expect from wives, then the husband has two choices: either divorce her and marry her, marry another one, healthy one, and this is very mean, to throw her away, throw her out, when she's in a state of disability like that, it's really unfair. Or the other alternative is to keep the woman and marry another one, another healthy woman that can perform the duties as a wife. Now, This is one of the reasons that there are four reasons actually there are more than one reason that makes multiple wives necessary. Number one, if the first wife cannot carry children, then the second wife will. You can get a second wife for that. And the example is Prophet Abraham, who is married to Sarah. Sarah didn't get children, so he married Hajar. Actually, Sarah is the one who asked him to marry Hajar to get children. So basically she selected his second wife. So the first wife selected the second wife. And later on, when Sarah was very old, Allah blessed her as a miracle with a child, Isaac. But at the beginning, she didn't have the ability and she chose Hajar to Prophet Ibrahim to marry. The second case scenario we talked about, which is the wife is disabled in such a way that she cannot be a wife or perform the duties of wife any more. These are the ones that I can think of from the top of my head. There are situations like there was a wife, a single woman in Canada. She converted to Islam, and she felt very lonely. Basically, her family, you know, denounced her. Her friends, she lost her friends and everything. She would go to the masjid. She would meet the brothers and sisters and everything. When she goes home, she goes to an empty house. She's lonely, no partners. So one time her door was knocked. Someone knocked on her door, and here's another sister from the society. She's saying, I understand your problems, and I am willing to share my husband with you. So having one half of a husband is better than having nothing, and so forth. I mean, these are examples of situations when when polygamy is really, having a second wife is really mercy. Women who have, for example, widows or divorced women who have many children, and they don't have a man to support them, especially widows. Maybe a divorcee would have a child support, but the widow would end up having her children alone. And a widow with 5 or 6 children is not attractive to marry people. You know, it's men would not think of marrying, will not likely choose to enter into these kind of marriages. And she would need a man that's, you know, provides for her and for her children, and to live a healthy life. And in this situation, she's willing to settle for 1/4 of a husband, 1/3 of a husband, or 1/2 of a husband. And it's actually the man in the right there. The man, in my opinion, is the loser. In this scenario, because he is basically not getting a good deal, sort of, when you're having a widow with 4 or 5 children, or a divorcee with 4 or 5 children. That's not an attractive scenario for a man to marry a woman like that. The norm for having many wives, there are the Adam and Eve. God created only one Adam and one Eve. So the norm is one. But other than that, in these situations, Islam provides the permission for men to marry more than one wife to overcome to cover any of these mentioned cases, scenarios. And also we have the baby boys are the mortality rates for baby boys is 25% to 30% more than the baby girls. Baby girls are more likely to survive than baby boys. Wars take the lives of men. In Germany, after World War I, you can imagine the situation when most of men died in the war, and the ratio between men and women were so low. Women, there were so many women, more women than men, and in such a society, allowing more than one wife becomes really a must to give the old women the opportunity of getting married. There was an interview with a woman back in Sudan. She's having a co-wife. They were asking her, how do you feel about that? She said, wow, it's so great to get one man is too much to handle by myself. It's so nice to get a co-wife so that, you know, I can get a break for one day, at least one day. And there are reasons. What are the reasons for a woman that can't have multiple husbands? First reason, it's immoral. Second reason is the DNA is not always available. So you will not know who's the father. And DNA exists only in the very modern society. And I think it's not available to people on Earth, everybody on Earth now. It's only available to a limited number of people, and Islam is intended to cover from time and space, to cover for different times and different places. And also health problems. There are health problems that's why the cervix cancer, I think cervix cancer was one of those problems. That results from having more than one boyfriend, basically. We would say more than one husband. What causes the cervical cancer? Yes, here. That's the cause of this cancer, is to having multiple partners. Of course, it's a disease for women only. That's not a male disease. It's a disease for women. It happens only in females. And when they have more than one partner, so they get it. And that's why it has been medically suggested that all girls, American girls, to get this immunization against this cancer. Not only because they will have multiple partners during their lives, but also they can marry a man that carry the virus from previous relationships. And, or a man having an affair. And in this case, he exposing his wife to the virus. So that's the main cause of it. Okay. So finally, yeah, that's it. Okay.